are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with a Rapid React Tuesday episode following that Monday Night Football loss for the 49ers, 27-23 to the New York Giants. And once again, the 49ers pull defeat from the jaws of victory. What's to blame for losing all these close games? Is it a lack of talent? Is it coaching? We'll get into some of that today. We'll continue to get into a lot of that stuff as we go through the week and into the bye next week. But there's absolutely a trend with this 49ers team, and the trend is that they are losing close games, that they are consistently not finding ways to make plays and win close games, and consistently finding ways to lose close games by not making a play or by making a mistake, a miscommunication, and allowing a team to run down the field and beat them, as what happened on Monday Night Football against the New York Giants, or a questionable play call or two, which we will get into. So we're going to get into the game notes here, some takeaways from Monday Night Football, and I'm going to give out a couple of game balls at the end of the program as well. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show, tell a friend about Locked On 49ers. If they're not a 49ers fan, let them know that they have a podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, whether it be NFL, NBA, MLB. We've got college shows as well. So you're covered on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. Email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Get those mailbag questions churning for tomorrow's episode. Going to have Nick join me for a Winky Wednesday, and we will definitely hit the mailbag as well as talk more about this game and an overall outlook of what's going on in 49er land. So what went down at a hazy Levi's Stadium Monday night? How did we end up at a 27-23 score? Some game notes here. We'll get to some game balls. A lot I want to talk about at the very end of the game. There was a lull there in the late third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, but a lot happened at the beginning of the game, so let's start there. Niners D, really, and this is, man, this happens a lot. This has been another thing that I just talked about at the beginning, how the 49ers have been losing a lot of close games. And it's not just that they keep losing close games. It's that a lot of other things keep repeating themselves during the games with miscommunications and, you know, DBs looking at each other like, oh, where were you? Where were you? And another thing is that the defense seems to be just on fire, coming out of the blocks with such emotion and playing so hard and hitting people and flying around and making plays. And at the end of the game, they're on their heels and they stop making plays. And it's been a constant for this 49ers defense. And this is, I'm not even throwing this on Robert Saleh. He's going to get enough stuff this week, I think, and a little bit from me a little bit later in the show. But it's just, they come out hot and they don't, it's hard to stay with that kind of intensity through four quarters of a football game, I think. And especially when you're on the field a lot, especially in the second half, whereas Thursday Night Football against the Raiders, the defense wasn't on the field a lot. So they were able to play, I think, with a little bit more ferocity and a little bit more all gas, no breaks, more violence later in the game because they weren't on the field as much. But that first drive of the game, Malcolm Smith stopping Saquon Barkley for a loss. Saquon got stopped a bunch of times in the backfield. K'Juan Williams comes up with a stop on Evan Ingram in the flat for no gain and a quick punt, just like that. There was an Odell drop in that first drive, too. So that was awesome to see. 49ers come right out of the gate with Richie James. A nice little punt return, makes a nice move and sees a hole up the middle of the field. I think he got tackled by the punter, which somebody that I was watching the game with said, if you get tackled by the punter, I think you should lose 10 more yards or they should just take the entire return away from you. But he made a nice move, and he was one guy away from breaking that one. But great starting field position for the 49ers on their first drive. Breida, a big gain. He had an awesome game in this one. What was it, 17 carries for 101 yards, so nearly 6 yards per carry for Matt Breida. A fantastic outing by him. He had the rushing touchdown and a receiving touchdown. But Nick Mullins, I loved seeing his poise, man. Again, he was the same guy he was last week. Not quite as good of results, but some things could have bounced differently, and it could have been very close to same results for Nick Mullins. He nearly falls down on that first drive after a play action. No problem. He barely gets his feeding back underneath him, finds his balance, hits George Kittle for a first down. They would end up stalling on that drive, but take an early 3-0 lead. One play that I did not like seeing on the New York Giants' second drive was Mark Zaccia lost contain. He didn't set the edge on a play, and it was the backside of a run play to Saquon Barkley. He started right and cut back to the left side, got all the way around the left corner, past Zaccia, past Witherspoon for an 18-yard gain. You got to have that contain. You got to keep him in the middle of the field, especially a guy like Saquon Barkley, who we saw later on. You let him out in the open field, and that's where he does his damage. He's not as good between the tackles, even though he can run people over a little bit, and he's got those powerful legs. But just vision-wise, that's not where his strength is right now as a runner. But the Niners do force a bad throw from Eli Manning. Everyone covered downfield, and then Marsh gets there with the pressure. And late in the down, Eli has to do something, tries to force it into Barkley. He gets hit by Fred Warner, pops the ball up, nearly picked off by Dakota Watson. A really good play. I'm not sure who it was, but the offensive lineman, I think it was, for the Giants ended up picking it out of the air and taking it away from Watson, so it wasn't a pick. But they had to punt anyways and give the ball back to the 49ers. I did not like this series. Backed up near their own end zone, Mullins throws late to the sideline to Kendrick Bourne. And Janoris Jenkins, I mean, that's not Mullins' strength, and I think that's pretty clear. You know, that deep out route, and that was the far hash, I believe, he was on, making that throw. That's a tough throw for Nick Mullins. It's a tough throw for any quarterback to make. When they talk about people having NFL arm, making NFL throws, when you can make that deep out to the sideline, that's an NFL throw. Mullins needs to throw with more anticipation and touch and things like that, which he showed throughout both of these games, but that's just a tough throw, especially when he's waiting, and throws it pretty late. And so it gets tipped by Janoris Jenkins, who made a good play. Bourne maybe could have helped him out, come back to the ball a little bit more and bodied up on it, but ends up getting tipped in the air to Goodson, who picks it off. And that's the first turnover of Nick Mullins' NFL career. So the New York Giants, Odell Beckham, touchdown. Eli finds Odell standing in the back of the end zone. I got a question, either the play call or how the DBs are getting coached on this one, because you're sitting there in a zone defense in the red zone. Witherspoon's covering grass. He's covering the helmet logo in the end zone. Ward is covering the E in 49ers in the end zone. No players around him. And right in between those two guys is Odell Beckham, just standing there holding his arm up. And Eli finds that spot right between Witherspoon and Ward and over the head of Kaywan Williams, who was playing a little zone underneath where Odell Beckham was. And it's just too easy. It's an easy touchdown. A guy standing by himself in the end zone. You can't have that happen. So either they need to make a different play call or coach the guys up to where, look, you don't have to cover grass. There's nobody coming into your zone, Akella Witherspoon. You can play in on this guy. You can pinch on where Odell Beckham is and where he's standing, and you can play a player within those zones. So, yeah, you can't have that kind of stuff. And it happened late in the game, too, with some play calls, and it happened multiple times. This was not a good football game for Akella Witherspoon. For a guy that's trying to prove he's the starting long-term cornerback, not a great look for him. Tough assignment against one of the best players, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, and Odell Beckham. 7-3 New York Giants at that point. The 49ers get the ball back. Mullins, nice. I love seeing this from Nick Mullins. So you wonder, it's like, oh, okay, this is where the young player who's out of his league in his second game after a really great first game throws an interception and it all falls apart and he starts to crumble. But I didn't see that at all from Nick Mullins. He displayed a short memory, comes out firing, hits Kittle twice, hits Juszczyk once, and quickly takes the team into Giants territory. Matt Breida takes it from there, gouging New York for two long runs, a little help from a face mask penalty, and then takes it in for the score on his third straight carry, and the 49ers regain the lead 10-7. We're going to take a quick break here, but a quick shout out to Fred Warner. More on Fred Warner, and why does he play better when Reuben Foster is not next to him in the lineup? That's something that's a little curious. More Locked On 49ers after this. Fred Warner showing up early and often in this game. He was all over the place. A nice pass breakup intended for Odell Beckham, forcing a punt on third down. There was another play where he stones Barkley in the A-gap on the next Giants drive when they're trying to score, holding them or forcing them to take a field goal. But it was third and goal. Kind of a weird play call by the Giants. They would go shotgun, maybe to put the 49ers on their heels and play more against the pass, and they tried to sneak him inside. But Warner meets Barkley right there in the A-gap, and that forced the field goal attempt, and that was what put the game at tied at 10 in the second quarter, I believe it was. And an interesting note on that play, besides the great play by Fred Warner, it was just a head-up play. It's like, look, here's our running back. He's a rookie. Here's your rookie linebacker. Let's go. And he met him in the hole, and he read the play perfectly. That was awesome to see. And, he stoned him cold right there at the line of scrimmage. But apparently Odell was uncovered in the slot. I saw that later on Twitter. I didn't see it live, but third and goal play, and your best player, your best receiver, who was all over the place in this game, sitting there in the slot by himself wide open. Eli did not notice it or decided not to make the play call because maybe he thought the Niners were going to move over, or maybe Warner was going to slide over there and play a zone and he'd have an easy run up the middle with Saquon Barkley. But Odell Beckham was not happy. He started pointing at his chest and looking back at Eli after the play, and then they showed him on the bench later and he was really upset, as Odell tends to get. So a little sideline strife there with the New York Giants, but they stayed strong, and they ended up coming back in this game after the 49ers took a lead. So going into the half, two-minute drill for the 49ers, a minute 50 left on the clock after that field goal tied at 10, starting from the 25-yard line. And, Mullins hits Kittle on a shallow sideline throw. This one's another sideline throw. It's like, oh, no, is Mullins going to throw another touchdown? But it just gets by the arms of Landon Collins, who tried to undercut the route. It gets to Kittle, who carries Collins and another DB for about eight more yards and a first down. Then a pass interference on George Kittle in coverage, so 17 yards to Goodwin after that. Now you're down to 22 seconds left in the half. 49ers, would be really nice to get seven on the board here and take a one-touchdown lead going into halftime. A second and 10, trying to get the ball to Pettis in space. This is the second time they ran a play just designed to get Pettis the ball and have like a little punt return out there on a screen pass. But nothing doing again. And Pettis was not a bright spot in this game. First down with 12 seconds to go, no timeouts. They're inside the 20-yard line. Mullins throws behind Pettis what looked like to be an out route. Pettis was able to get a little bit of a hand on it. It was not picked off, luckily, but that could have been a disaster of a play as well and take them out of scoring at all. But after the play, because live it looked like, okay, Mullins missed Pettis. He's running it out. He throws it behind him, whatever. But then you think about the play. It's like, okay, it was 12 seconds to start, no timeouts. So if Pettis was supposed to run, say, a hook right there and hook it up short of the goal line, make the catch, and he gets tackled, the 49ers may get no plays off. Maybe they could run up and spike the ball and kick a field goal. So I don't think that was the design. Unless he was designed to get upfield, get to the goal line, and then wait for the pass. Maybe that was it. Maybe he just didn't get upfield far enough. On the sideline, Shanahan is in Pettis' ear, and he's giving him the business. And it was right after the play, and he was definitely not upset. And I saw a lot of people on Twitter that gave their accounts of what they thought Shanahan was saying. Someone said, I'm trying to get you the ball. Someone else said, I don't know, a lot of theories on what he was telling him. And if he was, even if he was trying to run the out and it was a bad throw from Mullins and he catches the ball, goes out of bounds, well, you still just barely have time to kick a field goal, which they ended up kicking anyway. So I think it maybe wasn't the out. So maybe it wasn't on Mullins. Maybe there was a miscommunication there. But whatever it was, Shanahan was not happy about the way Pettis ran that route. And in the end, the 49ers did get some points. And by the way, Robbie Gould, I mean, he's just flat out money in the bank. You don't even, not only do you not expect a miss, you don't expect anything that's just not dead center. So a little shout out to Robbie Gould. I don't know if he gets enough credit amongst the 49ers fan base. The kickers would tend to not get much credit, but he's fantastic. He's been lights out. That brings us to halftime, 49ers leading 13-10. Niners open up the second half with a deep shot for Kendrick Bourne, which I like to see. I like to see them mix in some deep shots. Kendrick Bourne's not really the guy I would expect to get the call on those deep shots. I would put, obviously, Marquise Goodwin, even George Kittle at tight end, I think would be more apt to see some deep shots than Kendrick Bourne. Both rookies, Dante Pettis and Richie James, if you're trying to dial up a deep ball, Kendrick Bourne might not be the guy I would consider, especially if you're coming out of the half and you have something ready and you have it designed to go to a player and take a shot. They called the number 84. That would not be my first choice, but covered well by Janoris Jenkins, that didn't really have much of a chance to develop. Mullins converts a third and five, though, to Matt Breida on that Texas route, which I love. I think the Texas route is nearly undefeated. It's a staple of the West Coast offense. Running back out of the backfield, runs an angle toward off the tackle and then back like a slant in the middle of the field. Love that route. It's a great catch and run route. Saw Roger Craig run that a million times. And then it's all Kittle all the time, basically, for the rest of the drive, peppering in some Matt Breida, and it was working. And then the big play, and my favorite play of the game, I think for the 49ers it was play of the game, was, I wrote in my notes here, Matt effing Breida. What a catch for a 12-yard touchdown, goes up, pulls down a Nick Mullins pass to put the 49ers up 20-10. So now you're in the second half, you come out of the gate swinging like that, put together a great drive, you're running the ball, you're throwing the ball, ripping off first downs. You take a 10-point lead on a bad football team, and you're thinking, okay, here it is. This is where the 49ers have momentum. They're playing really good football, pretty well on both sides of the ball. You step on the gas, and you run away from the Giants here like they did Thursday night against the Raiders. But that's not exactly how it went down. This is definitely not the 2017 New York Giants team that the 49ers ran into that definitely had no heart and were quitting on their coaching staff and quitting on each other. They stayed in this. They stayed locked in, and they kept playing hard. They were fighting hard to win this football game. And so a testament to the Giants that didn't fold when they could have right there in a 1-8 season. They're now 1-7, now 2-7 on the year are the New York Giants. But this is where I got very disappointed, and I have to ask the question, how bad is Tarvarius Moore in practice that he can't get out there and get some run and just get some reps at outside cornerback? Because this is where I would have probably benched Weatherspoon at this point, because the 49ers still have a lead. You're still trying to protect a lead, whether you put the rookie DJ Reed out there, whether you put Tarvarius Moore out there, whoever you can put at corner, you got to do something, because I don't know what's going on with the development of Weatherspoon. And it's, first of all, Odell nearly makes a ridiculous catch. They dial him up deep down the left sideline. Ward gets over there a little bit late, but helps to break it up on the second chance when Odell's trying to basically make a diving one-handed catch in the end zone. But this is what I didn't like seeing. So Odell almost makes a ridiculous catch. Weatherspoon didn't break up the play at all. I mean, he had okay coverage, but Odell still had a chance to make a play on the ball. As the ball gets knocked away when Jimmy Ward arrives, and it does fall incomplete, and Weatherspoon gives it like the no sign with his arms, you know, sticking his arms out like, no, I just broke up this pass. It's like, nah, actually, you didn't break up that pass. They just luckily didn't connect on this pass, and Jimmy Ward came in at the end to make sure of that. And sure enough, the New York Giants go right back to the same play. And Odell Beckham just completely toasts and completely, he had about 10 yards of separation on a go route. Just gave him a little move outside and just this go route where he's got at least 10 yards of separation. It was no doubt easy throw and catch touchdown for Eli Manning to Odell Beckham. And then Witherspoon's in the end zone looking around like, put his arms up like, what happened? Where's my help over here? Looking at Jimmy Ward. And even after the game, Shanahan was like, yeah, I don't like seeing that. You got to own your own stuff. And so I might at that point just say, look, you're going to have to sit down, because not only are you pointing your fingers, you're patting yourself on the back the play before when you had pretty good coverage, you had okay coverage, but you didn't necessarily make the play. And then on the very next play, you just get toasted on the same route. And then you're looking for help and trying to blame somebody else and point your finger at that point. I'm not down with that. I did not like seeing that at all. First of all, I didn't like him seeing not making the play. And then second of all, trying to point fingers, and seen that multiple times on the season from Akella Witherspoon. He needs to make those strides, and he's got to get better quicker. And so I'm not sure if it's a mental thing with him. I don't know. I'm sure if he's just not getting coached up that well, because there's some other things in the secondary I haven't liked either. And so it's not just Akella Witherspoon, but Witherspoon has definitely been one of the more disappointing spots on the 49ers, that sophomore slump, the player that a lot of people down the stretch at the end of last year and in the offseason thought was really going to solidify the right cornerback position, and he just flat out has not in 2018. Okay, let's take the final break here. I want to come back and break down the very end of the game, what I did not like about one play in particular, and then there are some game balls to give out, even though the 49ers were hung with the L for the eighth time this season. The second interception of the game was a real killer. 49ers and Giants were tied at 20 at this point in the fourth quarter, and B.J. Goodson gifted a second interception in this game, both picked and knocked right into his grasp. But Mullen throws a little behind Goodwin coming across the field. Goodwin's got to catch this one. It's off his hands, and not only did he just not drop, you know, if you drop it, it goes into the grass, whatever. But he knocked it up into the air, into the arms of B.J. Goodson, Just not a good turn of events for the 49ers. Luckily, that one didn't really kill because the 49ers did end that drive of the Giants when Buckner and Dakota Watson met Eli Manning in the backfield for a third down. The first sack of the game for the 49ers, by the way. The only sack of the game for the 49ers for either team. And they did end that drive, and the 49ers got the ball back. Breida takes another big run, goes over 100 yards in the game. But that drive would stall out again, and the 49ers would have to attempt a field goal with 2:50 left on the clock. But again, Robbie Gould is money. So 23-20 49ers, and that gives the New York Giants the ball back with plenty of time, two-minute drill, to march down the field. And they did. The long play to Ingram, that was a killer. That was just a well-designed play, and he sold the run blocking, and he got open on the right side, and I think that was Malcolm Smith's coverage that blew that one, and he just was pretty much uncovered, and it was a long game down the sideline. But the one play in particular that bothers me, and this is on Robert Saleh just because of the defensive call, they didn't do it well either, but this stage of the game, you're putting a defensive end, Cassius Marsh, in coverage on Saquon Barkley. You can't do that. That's going to come back and kill you. A veteran quarterback in a two-minute drill like Eli Manning, he's standing there and he's looking at the field. He's scanning the 49ers and he's saying, okay, you're about to blitz me with your middle linebacker. I know that Barkley's going to run, again, the Texas route that I talked about earlier with Matt Breida coming off the left side. So he's like, well, that's going to vacate the center of the field. That's where I'm throwing the ball. And so the 49ers didn't replace that blitzing middle linebacker with anybody, unless I think maybe that was supposed to be Malcolm Smith, who was playing the weak side. He was on the right, lined up at linebacker. But right off the snap, as Barkley headed toward the outside, Cassius Marsh and Malcolm Smith both looked like they were in coverage there on that play. They both bit on that outs. They were both just completely headed outside with Barkley. He cuts back inside, wide open, a catch and run. And it puts the Giants in striking distance, and a great throw and catch to Shepard for the touchdown. And that would pretty much be it. The 49ers had a shot to run down the field, and they did get down the field a little bit. I hated that, and I saw Kyle Shanahan running out and yelling at the refs. They had to call a penalty on the Giants for delay of game, laying on top of Marquise Goodwin after they tackled him. And they obviously know he's trying to get up, and that's straight up cheating. Like, you know, there's no way getting around that. Now, you throw flags for so many different things: pass interference and holding and illegal hits, and it's like helmet to helmet. All these rules. This is like the most blatant thing that happens in NFL games. Sometimes you don't see it that often, but it was blatant, and it's a delay of game call, and it has to be a penalty. Because you can't just lay on a guy and not let him get up and try to run the next play. And it's obvious what you're trying to do. And I understand why Kyle Shanahan was pissed off about that, as he should have been. But the 49ers were able to get down, get set up, snap, and spike the ball with 1 second left on the clock. And one thing that's disappointing in the way this team is built up as far as the personnel. The 49ers have the ball at about the 20-yard line, 1 second left. And then you're thinking, Who can you design this play for? Like, George Kittle is the only receiver on the field that's over 6 feet tall. You know, where else could you possibly try to go with it on a play where you might need someone to go up in the air and make a play? I mean, we saw Matt Breida make a nice jumping catch. Marquise Goodwin, who's an Olympic long jumper, dude can leap, but he's 5'9". You know, it's like you don't have that guy. So the 49ers still, and I understand that Kyle Shanahan really loves his small, quick receivers that know how to separate, but there's situations in games where you need a guy who's open even when he's covered. And the 49ers, I think, have to address that and bring in a big-bodied player this offseason, and there's a ton of them in the draft that will be available. My favorite right now that I'm currently, you know, I'm going through some of these players and watching them, and I haven't watched them all, but Hakeem Butler from Iowa State, he goes about 6'5", 6'6", 220 pounds, definitely a former basketball player and above-the-rim type player, but gives you a lot more than just a jump ball guy. He can get downfield. He can run after the catch. Really like him. But there's multiple players that might fit that mold for the 49ers in the draft, just something to keep in the back of your mind. But when they're lining up, I was thinking, where do you go with this? George Kittle's the only one. And if you're the Giants defenders, you've had three guys on Kittle, right? You're not going to let him beat you. So Anyways, ends up getting thrown out of the back of the end zone by Nick Mullins. He thought he had a penalty and it was going to continue, but it was a hold. And that was the end of the game. 49ers lose 27-23. So there's definitely some disappointing things to take away from this game. And there's some nice things that happened, though. One is the running game. So when you give away the first game ball, I'm going to give it to the offensive line because they've been fantastic. Two games in a row with zero sacks. I mean, that's rare for good football teams ever anyway. And I can't think of the last time the 49ers offense didn't have a single sack for two straight games. That's happened for the 49ers right now. And the way they were running the ball, a 5.9 clip for Matt Breida. I think the offensive line and Matt Breida deserve a game ball. So my second game ball is going to go to Matt Breida. And then, because last week I only gave one game ball out and I gave it to Nick Mullins because I thought it was that important, the game he played against the Raiders. And so I kind of passed over some guys. So this time I got to give out some other game balls. So offensive line gets one, Matt Breida gets one, and how can you not give one to George Kittle? I snubbed him last week. He's got to get one here with his 9 receptions for 83 yards. Didn't get in the end zone, but he was the chain mover. He was the number one receiver for Nick Mullins, and they've got a fantastic connection going right now. And that's something the 49ers offense is going to have to lean on the rest of the season for sure. Some honorable mentions out there. I really like the game I saw from Fred Warner. DeForest Buckner getting in there and wreaking havoc. He had two batted down passes, and he had the sack, the half a sack that he shared with Dakota Watson. So an honorable mention for him. Fred Warner, by the way, at linebacker, he only had 4 total tackles, but he did have a couple of passes defense too, which is another wrinkle to what he brings, which is another thing that makes it so frustrating about that play call, or they've got a defensive end in coverage and they're blitzing Fred Warner instead of leaving the guy who's very good in coverage as a linebacker like Fred Warner in the middle of the field to cover Saquon Barkley, who ends up burning him on that play. But we'll continue to talk about some of these things, the coaching and some decisions there, what players are developing, what players are not. A lot to get to and a lot to talk about here, especially as we go over the bye week and really look back at things and dissect some things and look forward to the offseason and start looking a little bit more at the draft and stuff since we have some free time without any games to go over next week. But going to be off on Friday. Going to keep it short this week because it is a bye week. So I'm going to take a couple of bye days myself in the next couple of weeks. So probably only go 4 per week for the next 2 weeks. But I will be back tomorrow with a little Winky Wednesday action. And then I'm not sure who my guest will be on Thursday, but get those mailbag questions in to me on Twitter at BDPeacock or email LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And I'll talk to you tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers.